Okay, it is 5 o'clock, so I will call this public hearing in regard to redistricting and the tentative district plan, the tentative county supervisory district plan map to order. Thank you all for being here, both county board supervisors, staff, public, all of you, and those of you who are joining us remotely. We will begin with a few words from me to introduce the process. Then Mari Peets is going to be talking about the mapping process, and then we will have people who wish to be heard give their testimony, 3 minutes per person. So should run pretty smoothly. So as you all know,
can you actually log into the
No.
You just have to maximize. And then join.
What was I joining before? I was joined to the county board meeting.
I'm not sure.
Okay. There we go. Okay, so in case those of you who are virtual did not hear me, I called this meeting to order. And I will talk a little bit about the work that the committee did, and then we'll talk a little bit about the process. So as you know, Census 2020 data was released very delayed by about 6 to 8 months from the normal time, and that was for the most part due to COVID-19. So the redistricting process for 2021 began in earnest on the 20th of July, after Governor Evers vetoed a delayed timeline which would have used the existing maps until June of 2022. So we would have had a much longer, more comfortable time to get this all done. But because that was vetoed, we had to really jump into action and get things done. So a process that normally takes up to a year had to be compressed into 4 months. In order to have new maps in place in time for candidates taking out nomination papers starting on December 1st for spring elections. Developing the tentative plan, which normally takes 60 days, had to be completed in about 2 weeks. Our staff stepped up and created 6 maps for the redistricting committee to consider. And the committee worked diligently and collaboratively to choose the map that best met the criteria that had been laid out to guide the process. The guidelines that we laid out included district boundaries will have substantially equal populations with the least possible deviation. They'll be contiguous and compact to uphold the principle of one person, one vote. District boundaries will be drawn to minimize the number of municipal boundaries crossed. Wherever possible, district boundaries will be coterminous with municipal wards and aldermanic districts. District boundaries will keep neighborhoods, communities of interest, minority communities, political subdivisions, and geographic and natural boundaries intact. District boundaries will ensure fair representation of racially and ethnically diverse populations. And district boundaries may consider incumbency, but should honor voter integrity. So, we considered 3 maps that maintained the previous number of 29 supervisors, and 3 maps that added an additional supervisor. The map that is being presented here tonight, with 30 supervisors, best meets the criteria laid out in the guidelines that I just read to you. So Mari Peets is going to be talking to us now about the mapping process that was used to create map 30-04, which is the map that you see over on the wall, and that is being forwarded from the committee to the county board for approval.
Thank you, Chair Cruz. To start off with, the La Crosse County GIS staff took into consideration all the comments and the guiding principles that we had heard from the committee.
Take your map.
That Chair Cruz had just previously outlined regarding the census data. Once that data was received, we used the software provided to us by the Wisconsin State Legislature GIS team. for completing the actual mapping task. With this software and the new population data provided with the software, the goal was for equal population per district. For La Crosse County, that is calculated by taking the total population and dividing it by the number of total districts. The City of La Crosse voting wards and the county voting districts cover the same area. The word for that is the coterminous. While it would be preferable that all municipal boundaries would meet coterminous rules, the first precedent is one person, one vote, and equal representation. So that's not always possible. So we took into consideration the 13 districts for the city population of 52,680, and we divided that by 13 districts. That equals 4,052 people per district. That was our target when we worked on that. The second thing we did is taking the remaining 68,104 people, and we divided it by 17 and 16 for 29 and 30 districts. Those totals for 16 districts would have been 4,256 people, and if we do it with 17 districts, it's 4,006 people. The redistricting committee determined the 4,006 people per district was more equitable to the city's population and recommended the 30 county board supervisor to account for the extended population growth. To begin the process, the GIS department looked at two factors to develop our process plan. The first factor we looked at was existing districts. So we brought those districts into our software. And from there, we looked at where there was a positive or a negative change. And meaning, you know, too many or too less in a district to meet that ideal substantial amount. The second thing we did is we looked at the actual population change per municipality. This gave us an idea of how to move our boundaries to create the closest population totals for our target deviations. For the deviations, by state statute, we can have 10% plus or minus, but the goal of the committee was to be as close to 1% as possible. These numbers help to develop the method of how to move the district boundaries, meaning reducing the overpopulated districts and adding to the ones that were underpopulated for our substantial goal. With the growth of 1,360 people in the city of La Crosse, the new population distributed among mostly District 5 and 6 where the growth was, and the 13 existing districts created substantially equal totals per district with deviations in the desired range, which was our first guiding principle. We use streets and neighborhoods to change the distribution of the city districts as much as possible while adhering to the block population totals. Looking at the population changes in the rest of the municipalities of the county, it was observed that the town of Campbell had a loss, and it was determined that a portion of the population in that adjacent high growth area in the town of and city of Onalaska and the village of Holman could equalize that district's population. From there, we moved via using blocks, which is the count of people per the census results. And we moved that from districts adjacent to wherever there was a deficit or an excess. Additionally, we had to move in a counterclockwise motion because we were keeping La Crosse coterminous. And then, you know, we ran into the river and there was nowhere to go if we went counterclockwise. So going with that plan, District 23 had the most growth with 1,500 people over the target, and so that was actually a 34% deviation. And we continued to move until we equal everything out as close as possible. And what ends up is that there's a new district, and that is made up of the towns of Holland, Hamilton, Farmington, and Burns. We also have some districts that need to be renumbered. So Supervisor 25 is now Supervisor 26. 26 is 27. 27 is 29. And Supervisor 29 is now District 30. So that makes 25 the new supervisor district doesn't have representation right now. And that is basically the summary of our process.
Okay, thank you so much. So hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully it really makes sense to those of you who are on the committee. And I hope it makes sense to those of you who weren't as well.
Okay, so now we're going to start the public hearing portion of this gathering. And before we do, I just want to lay out a couple of ground rules. County board members are here to listen to input. We're not here to ask questions. We're not here to answer questions. It's a one-way street on information, not a dialogue. We will read some comment into the record that we received via email, and then we will have people step up to the podium, introduce themselves, and provide their input. So I'm going to hand it over to the clerk, Jenny Dankmeyer, and she's going to read several of the communications that we received during this process. Go ahead, Jenny.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our first comment that came in via email is from Scott Heinig. He is the Village of Holman administrator. His email says, please find this email as an official response from the Village of Holman for consideration at the public hearing on the proposed tentative supervisory district map on Monday, September 13th. The Village of Holman Board unanimously supports the adoption of redistricting plan 30-04 and hopes for your support and the support of the County Board in full in moving it forward. Thank you. We have email from Fortune Weaver. She is the Town of Shelby clerk. I know the redistricting committee is hosting a public hearing for this on Monday night. There is one area I would like to request to be changed. A northern area of the Town of Shelby shows that it has Supervisory District 28, which is the light green color, which affects about 74 town residents. This would result in another supervisory district and another ballot style for the 74 voters. Please ask the redistricting committee to consider a minor change to have that supervisory district line follow the municipal boundary to avoid that additional ballot style for the Town of Shelby. Thank you. The next one is from the Town of Holland Chair Bob Stupai. I see that the Town of Holland has been chopped into four districts now instead of the two districts that were present before the proposed redistricting. While we are an area of large population growth, I don't think adding portions of our town to more district enhances representation to our residents. Instead, I think it may add confusion for our residents as to who represents them, as well as in which district a resident should vote. I believe that some rearranging is in order. For example, one of the districts that has about 120 town residents grouped with thousands of Village of Holman residents. I don't think our town residents will have any voice in a district created that way. Another district has our residents, again, in a minority grouped with many more Town of Onalaska residents. The remaining two districts, again, put town residents in a minority grouped with other municipality residents. The effect of having our population representation divided in this way is too greatly diminished the voice that our town residents can have at the county level. I feel that instead of having one more representation as one of our faster-growing communities in La Crosse County, the Town of Holland will have less, more diluted representation under this proposal. I appreciate the effort put forth in preserving all the incumbent seats. However, the area of growth in the county are not necessarily where the incumbents currently reside. Perhaps a plan involving accurate and fair representation of residents rather than preservation of incumbencies would be a better path forward. Thank you for your consideration. And the final one comes from Caitlin Hager. She is the City of Onalaska GIS analyst. The City of Onalaska requests a change in supervisory district boundaries between District 24 and 18, parcels 7-1357-0 and 7-1356-0, are currently undergoing the annexation process into the City of Onalaska, expected to be finalized by the end of this month. These parcels fall into census block number 55063010401205. According to Wisconsin Elections Commission's EL 100, a next territory may be added to an existing ward only if the territory is comprised of the same assembly, congressional, and county supervisory district boundaries and contiguous to that ward. This means the city would be required to create an entirely new ward consisting of only these two parcels. This ward would have zero population and would fall outside the population requirements of the 600 to 2100 inhabitants per ward, Wisconsin Statute 5.15 paren 2 paren B. The current supervisory district boundary 24 would also cause non-contiguous lines for aldermanic wards. According to Wisconsin Statute 59.10 paren 3 paren B1, the board shall, whenever possible, place whole contiguous municipalities or contiguous parts of the same municipality within the same district. If the division of a municipality is sought by the board shall provide with the plan a written statement to the municipality affected by each proposed division, specifying the approximate location of the territory from which a ward is sought to be created for continuity purposes, and the approximate population of the ward proposed to effectuate the division. This change request by the City of Onalaska is between the acceptable highest and lowest deviations the board agreed to. Right now, Supervisor District 24 is 0.47% above, and 18 is 0.75 below. Under this change, District 24 would be -1.24, and District 18 would be 1.54. If the census block is not moved to Supervisor District 18, there would be an aldermanic ward that far exceeds acceptable deviations in wards. This goes against Wisconsin Statute 5.15. Though incumbency is allowed to be considered while creating boundaries, it is on the low end of priority and does not supersede the guiding principles established by La Crosse County's redistricting board. All districts must be substantially equal in population. Districts must generally consist of whole ward or municipalities. Territory within each ward must be contiguous, except of island territory, and compact. Therefore, we would respectfully request that you allow census block number 55063010401215 to be moved into the 18th Supervisory District.
I now know how supervisors feel when they have to read resolutions.
That is the entirety of the written comments.
Okay, presented. So there were 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. Okay. All right. Having taken care of that, we have one person signed up to provide public input. Jake Williams, come on forward to the podium. And make sure the mic is on. If the light is red, it's not on. So push the button until it turns green. Got it?
Ooh, thank you.
The green?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I guess I get to be the lucky single speaker tonight. Hello, my name is Jake Williams. I am from District 5, and I'm here to speak for the redistrict map. It's, you know, great to see it, you know, up on the wall. Overall, at the end of the day, I think that it is a good plan. I support having an extra seat be given. I like the idea of having more opportunity for citizens to be engaged in the political process, as well as I think the work of the redistricting community was exemplary given the insane compressed time frame that it had to be created in. So, for those kind of two reasons, I support the redistricting. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we also have Shannon McKinney here this evening. Come on forward.
Pass, thank you. I'll just pass, thank you.
Oh, you're passing, okay. And those are the only people that we have signed up. Is there anyone else who did not sign up who would like to provide some input? Anyone else? Anyone else? I don't see anybody. So I guess we just wait, or do we
make a motion to close the public hearing and we can adjourn?
Okay. All right. So we don't just wait and see if anyone else shows up. Okay. So I guess I need a motion to adjourn this meeting. Supervisor Richmond moves. Supervisor Burke seconds. Any discussion on that? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, this public hearing is adjourned. Thank you. That was pretty short.